I was looking back through my notes, and some of this I would have shared back in 2008. The reason I want to go back and revisit some of this material is because it falls in line very closely with the series of messages that I'm doing. Last week, we talked about four mistakes that Adam made. And I want to kind of alternate each week by looking at a biblical character, look at one character, mistakes that they made, and then look at another biblical character and look at some things that they did right. And so we're going to alternate that way for a time. And so in the future, as far as looking at Adam is concerned, we looked at his four mistakes so that hopefully we won't make the same four mistakes. Today I want to look at some things that somebody did right in the hopes that maybe we can do those same things right and have the same kind of outcome. Now, the theme verse for our series on biblical figures is this one from Proverbs 24. Let's revisit it again for those of you that weren't here last week. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. Obviously, I added the bold emphasis there. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. I stop there because every time I read that, I want to say like a one-armed man. And I, a little bit of fugitive coming out there. Scarcity like an armed man. I applied my heart to what I observed. These are fill in these first couple of blanks. This is our formula for this series. Observe and apply. Look and learn. Observe and apply, look and learn. If somebody did something wrong, look at the consequences and avoid that. Don't be the person that says, well, I don't think I'm going to make the same mistake and go make the same mistake because you don't think you're going to have the same negative results. That's just dumb. It's stupid, with a capital STYOOPID. Stupid. All right. Observe and apply, look and learn. That's the philosophy that we want to use as we examine the lives of these various biblical personages. All right. I want to read about Hezekiah. And we're going to read 2 Kings 18, 1 through 7, and it lays it all out pretty clearly. I mean, this is a great passage if you want to go home, and there's a method of Bible study here that we're going to be able to learn about and apply to this, and you can take these principles, and as you read Scripture, glean the same kind of things out of it that we're going to be able to get out of it today. 2 Kings 18, 1 through 7, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. We'll explain that in a little bit. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands of the Lord, the commands that the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. All right, now in this series of messages, we're going to talk about all this stuff in just a little bit. In this series of messages, we're going to often use a fairly simple three-step method of Bible study here, in which we, go on to the next slide, there are three steps. We're going to look at individual people in Scripture, like Adam last week, Hezekiah this week, examine how they live their lives, and then glean the principles that we can apply to our lives. Keyword is principles. Principles. Now, principles are not hard and fast rules necessarily, but they have a consistency, kind of like the Proverbs. So we're going to look at people's lives. We're going to examine how they lived. We're going to glean principles that we can apply to our lives, kind of like we did last week. Go to the next slide. Keep in mind, a couple things that you need to keep in mind about this. God is not a respecter of persons, meaning he does not show favoritism, but he is consistent. The same God that was the God of Hezekiah, the same God that was the God of Adam, the same God that was the God of Paul and of Moses is the same God that exists today that wants to be God in your life. And if it worked for one person, the principle implies that it should work for you in the same context. So yes, he doesn't show favoritism. He's not a, quote, respecter, unquote, of persons, but God is consistent. In fact, Acts 10 puts it this way. This is Peter. Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." So it really comes down to a certain attitude and set of actions on your part. Not to be legalistic, but there are some requirements. Coming to a place where you fear God and you do what is right, you're going to see that God will respond in your life like he would respond in anyone else's. Now remember, it's not about following a magical formula. It's about living consistently and every day being who and what God has called you to be. Okay, so I'm not talking about creating some kind of magical list of things here. I'm talking about looking at somebody's life, looking at what they did. How do I apply what they did to my life, in my situation, in the 21st century? And in essence, then, can I expect God to work in a similar fashion in my life because I followed a similar pattern? Let's see if it works. Now, the desirable end result was in 2 Kings 18 through 7, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. Two things. The Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. Now, would you like that? Would you like God to be with you? Would you like to be successful in your endeavors? And I mean the biblical definition of successful, when I set out to do something to actually have it work. I mean, none of us like get up in the morning and say, I hope I'm a big fat failure today. I just hope to be a big failure. You know, and look, we define success differently and maybe wrongly sometimes. You know, and sometimes we think something didn't work and then we look back on it and say, you know, really, that was probably more successful than I realized. Okay, that debate, you know, can exist. But generally speaking, what we know about Hezekiah is that God was with him and he was successful in whatever he undertook. If that's the case, let's find out what he did. Let's find out what his attitude was. Let's find out where he was with God and see, are there principles there that Hezekiah put into place in his life that we can then put into place in our life? I found five. In verse 3, we learn that Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Seems pretty straightforward, right? If I want to be successful and expect God to be with me, I have to do the right thing. Our problem is a lot of times we do the wrong thing and get mad at God because he's not with us. What's wrong with you? You've been doing the wrong thing for years, and then one day you wake up and pray, and things don't work out as well as you thought they should, and you're annoyed at God that he didn't just hop to and come to your rescue? Think about it. Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. There's a whole level of things implied in doing the right thing as it relates to spiritual warfare, as it relates to obedience, as it relates to opening up your life to the presence of God, as it relates to letting the Holy Spirit work in your life and through your life, doing what is right in the eyes of God. So much for relativism, right? Sometimes we get caught up in doing what is right in the eyes of man or doing what is right in the eyes of somebody else instead of thinking, you know, I've got to do what God says is right, even if it doesn't look right to other people. And then I got to stop doing all this other wrong stuff that's having adverse effects in my life and then blaming God for the consequences. It's ridiculous. He carried it a little farther. Not only did he just do what was right, but he removed the high places. Now, these high places, they talked about smashing the sacred stones, the Asherah poles, even getting rid of the bronze snake that Moses made. It's kind of interesting because these were all things that the Israelites worshipped. These were the stumbling blocks to the Israelites. And so he got rid of every single stumbling block because they always gravitated back. And a lot of it kind of comes down to them being somewhat superstitious, giving credence to these actual idols that did nothing, but this fear that maybe if they didn't appease the, quote, other gods, that maybe bad things would happen because they would, you know, well, God, Yahweh, doesn't seem to be working as fast as he ought to, so we need to go make sure that we go up to the sacred stones and pay our offerings, and we need to go make sure we go up and do the little thing at the Asherah poles so that we can make sure that the harvest is good. You know, for me, the icing on the cake was the fact that they took an ancient artifact that Moses himself made. You know, if you remember the story of the Israelites in the desert, they were whining and complaining, and they opened up the door to a kind of an attack in which the snakes would come into the camp and bite them. And God says, okay, what you need to do is this. You need to put this snake on a pole, fashion this snake out of bronze, and it's representative, it ends up being representative of Christ, because Christ became sin for us, you know, and snakes were an abomination to the Israelites. And so Moses has this stick and this snake on it, you know, and Jesus talks about it, you know, so the snake in the desert was lifted up, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Well, anyway, Moses makes this thing and lifts it up, and they're supposed to look at it, and when they look at it, they're healed of the snake bites, and the snakes stop attacking them. And so this bronze snake on a stick, which consequently is also the symbol for the American Medical Association. Oh, you know, they begin to worship the thing like an idol. I just find it ironic. And so so much for history. Hezekiah takes the thing and smashes it to bits. Says enough of that. You know, and so Hezekiah does the right thing, but he goes a step farther by removing the things that end up being a stumbling block to God's people. You know, the stuff that ends up always drawing them away. He says, you know what? There were a lot of kings that you know, they were obedient to the Lord and they followed the Lord, but they were a little too afraid of the high places. It was kind of like a political gamble. You know, that was one area they didn't want to touch because that was kind of a testy area with some of the Israelites. They would always kind of go back to the high places and go back to those places of worship and go back. And Hezekiah was like, you're not going to have any place to go back to because we're getting rid of this. It only ever seemed to take about a generation for them to come back. But Hezekiah did his part, smashed the stones and tore down the poles and ground up the bronze snake, and enough of this idol worship. You know, Hezekiah's mindset, we've got to worship the Lord, and we got to worship him alone. The verse that came to my mind, though, when I was thinking about high places, was in 2 Corinthians 10:5, when Paul talks about casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what these places did. They tried to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Well, you know, God doesn't seem to be coming through. God, you know, it takes too long for God to answer prayers. So we go back to the good old comfortable, comfortable thing. You know, we worship the idols. We make our offerings. We kiss the Blarney Stone, you know, or whatever it is that we do superstitiously in the hopes that that will have some kind of effect because God's taking too long. Hezekiah is like, no more. Every high thing that exalts itself against God. You know, what's the principle in your life? Are there things in your life that draw you away from God that you didn't haven't gotten rid of yet? You know? When you ask to be delivered from temptation, do you leave it a forwarding address? You know? When you ask to be delivered from temptation, do you hope that it stays in touch? You know? Yeah, we laugh, but number three, third thing that Hezekiah did, he trusted in the Lord. Trusted in the Lord, you know. And look, for him to smash those places was an act of trust because he's basically saying, God, I'm taking the safety net away. I'm taking the safety net away from myself. I'm taking the safety net away from your people. And we're going to trust you. We're not going to trust the offerings of the gods and the little graven images. And we're not going to do the fertility dances and we're not doing that because it's about you and you alone. You find yourself in a position of authority like Hezekiah did, he had to say, I trust God with my whole heart. I trust his word. I trust his direction. I trust who he is and who he wants me to be. I think there's a principle here, right? To trust in, to lean and fully rely upon. And then he held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. During those times when you're tempted to let go a little bit, Hezekiah determined, I'm going to hold on to God all that much harder. I'm going to hold that much tighter. During those times of doubt, I will not be deterred. I will continue to follow the Lord. In those times when it's tough, I will follow him harder. I will hold on to him tighter. In our society, we allow negative circumstances and events in our life to cause us to fall away. It's almost textbook. I'm having a tough week, and so then you begin to forsake the fellowship. You know, you start by not going to church, and then the next thing you know, you're disconnected. Like a couple of weeks of that, and it's easy to become very disconnected because you haven't held fast. A determination to hold fast to God during those times when things get busy and things get hard and things get more challenging is what's going to help you stay connected to God, stay connected to the vine, stay connected to the body. Key word here is focus. Key word is focus. And then the fifth thing that Hezekiah did, he kept the commands of the Lord. Now this, again, is not rocket science. This is you do what God has asked you to do. You do what's right. You do what he said is right. You do what he commands you to do. Because it needs to be done, and it's the right thing to do. And not only that, but it's a demonstration of our love to him by simply being obedient to what he calls us to do. What does John say in 14? Or what does Jesus say in John 14, 15? If you love me, you will obey what I command. You know, well, I love you, Lord, but, but do I really have to do that? Well, if you love me, you'll just do it. Because I've called you to do it. I've asked you to do it. I want you to do it. People need to see you do that so that they see you living for me and they see me living in you. So your homework for the week is to look at these five things. Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Hezekiah removed the high places, the stumbling blocks, the things that caused people to fall away. He trusted in the Lord. He held fast to the Lord. And he kept God's commands. If you were to look at yourself and say, man, I just not feeling like God's with me this week and everything that I do falls apart. Ask yourself, do I consistently do what is right? Do I consistently cast aside and tear down those things that will pull me away from God? Do I consistently trust in the Lord? Do I hold fast to him when things get tough? And do I obey him because I know I need to? A lot of times we want the end result without accomplishing the required work. Yeah, I know that salvation is a free gift. That we come to Christ, we give our hearts to him, and we make him the Lord of our life, and it is freely offered, and it is freely given. But there's a process that then continues from that point. A process of growth and consistency in which if you desire to see God's hand upon your life each day consistently, there are some things that have to be done. They just have to be done. And I pray this week, as you go about your day, as you go about your job, as you go about school, as you go about your business, that you'll meditate on these things and say, you know what? If I want Hezekiah's end result, if I want to really know that God is with me and that he's going to help me to be successful in the things that I undertake, he's going to help me to be a successful dad, a successful mom, a successful coworker, successful at my business, successful at my ministry, successful at what he wants me to do. Because God did not call you to be a failure. There's no reason that God would call you to fail. If I want to see that success come, there are some things that I have to do in my life which make God priority. All right, let's stand together and pray. Father, thank you for everybody here today. And I know sometimes these messages are a lot of information in a short amount of time, but I pray, God, as we meditate on this scripture this week from 2 Kings, we look at the kind of individual that Hezekiah was and how you were able to bless him in his reign, in his work, in what he did in leading your people, God. We know that you're a God that can bless us in what we do within our families, within the context of our jobs, within the context of being involved in our communities, God. We want to have your favor, and we desire to see your hand on our life, and we realize if that's going to happen, there are some things that we need to do. And I pray, God, you'd help us, remind us, give us the discipline, the capacity to do what you've called us to do in the face of resistance, in the face of negative events that may happen in our life, God. I pray that we would do what is right, that we would tear down the high places and the stumbling blocks, that we would trust you, that we would hold fast to you, and that we would obey you in everything that we say, in everything that we do, every moment of every day, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, no excuses, do it.